Welcome to Good Old Days from 8 to 9. I'm your host, Jax, here on Penguin Radio. And to be honest, I'm kind of exhausted. I'm still not really sleeping as good as I should be, but I'm kind of pumped up at the same time because it is our very last show, show number 10, a nice even number. Mr. Monk would be so proud of there being only 10 shows. And even though it might not seem like I mean this right now because I'm kind of excited, but I know that I will miss this because it's been super fun and just such an awesome experience. And I've loved talking to you guys, all two of you, whoever you are. Mom, I know you're one of them. Thank you. And I love you. You're really testing your patience by listening to me talk for an hour straight. That goes to all of you. Seriously, thank you for listening to Good Old Days. So now let's get into the final show. It's going to be a little bit different from how we usually do things. Instead of like having three oldies and then one newer song and those segments kind of being split up into that way, what we're going to be doing is it's going to be a bunch of old songs with no modern songs, absolutely no modern songs. I actually had a little bit of like kind of a thing last night where I was like, you know what, I really don't listen to any of the modern songs that I have, like any of the Blake Shelton ones, or like I have, like, even though there's one from each artist, but I think I'm actually gonna just get rid of my Florida Georgia Line and my Luke Bryan because I really don't listen to them, and I'm just gonna have the old stuff. So that's how we're gonna do it, because that's how I like to roll. Okay, comprende muchacho. I don't know, I was gonna say a different catchphrase and nothing came to mind except for comprende muchacho. Anyway, let's get started. We're going to start this morning off with some Southern rock. Hopefully you're not sick of these guys, because I'm not. I'm nowhere close to being tired with this band. So here is Ready to Fly by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Mama called this morning, said, son, won't you come back home? I ain't been feeling good and I know it won't be long. Don't keep me waiting, I wanna touch your face again. Oh, what a good life it's been. Now I'm ready to fly. die. I wanna see your daddy again. I'm ready to fly. All my family and friends, I know.
That was Lynyrd Skynyrd with Ready to Fly, and I really wanted to have you guys hear this song. I think it has such a precious meaning to it because it's addressing something that I think is the most difficult thing in life. I feel like people are lying if they say that death isn't hard to deal with. It's like, come on, dude. Yes, it is. But maybe it's not too sad if like your goldfish dies, but if it's a relative or a friend, then of course it's something difficult. And this group has plenty of really heartfelt songs. This one just adds to the list. There's Gifted Hands, which is such a beautiful song, and I think such a nice way to involve religion without being too like pushy and fanatic, because let's be real, no religion is better than the others. Coexist, like the bumper sticker says. Anyways, it's not as intense as some, you can't even really classify it as Christian rock just because it's a song about God, but I didn't even think that it was actually a genre until I realized that people do write songs on just God and Jesus, which is cool. It's just not my particular taste, especially if it's really hardcore and all that. And Gifted Hands is about God, but it kind of portrays him in more of a friendship way, and I find that super refreshing, and I personally relate to that because that's how I tend to picture my relationship with the man upstairs. It's more of like a friendship, if anything, if you know what I mean, except he's obviously a much more important person, but I don't know. I still think we're buddies in my mind, but then again, my mind is kind of weird, so who knows. And then they have a song called All I Can Do Is Write About It. And that song describes exactly how I feel about the world these days. It kind of tells you like the unsure feelings and concerns of our surroundings becoming a little too modern, which is something I freak out about very often because I prefer things to be more old school. And I feel like that all of this technology is kind of making me dumber a little bit. And I mean, it's totally helpful sometimes, but for instance, like I don't even know how to read an actual map because I never needed to since my phone has GPS, but I should learn how to read a map because I could be somewhere that has no reception, or I, you know, can't always have my phone, and therefore without that skill, that situation could be another plot for a horror movie, and I really don't want that. So I think I proved my point on how things don't always need to be changing and becoming quicker and faster and better, and some things should just not be messed with. Like, it's cool. I get, like, as we evolve, then, you know, we're going to improve some things, and the world is completely different how it was like in the 1900s. I get that. But it's just like, let's slow it down a little bit. I just really fear that like it's going to turn into like an iRobot thing, which I really, really don't want. I have like a deep fear of that. So yeah. And then another song that I think is just such a pretty one is Red, White, and Blue. I absolutely love this one. It's my 4th of July song. That one and Lynyrd Skynyrd's That Ain't My America, both of those tunes combined with a hot dog, well, multiple hot dogs and fireworks, all of that, and I'm ready for July 4th. And then we're back to Ready to Fly. So yeah, they seriously have such a variety in their music. There's like some upbeat rock ones. I know they have like On the Hunt and then Sweet Home Alabama, and they have like Free Bird and all those kind of ones. And then they have some more slower tunes and then these really meaningful songs. And I think it's kind of crazy too, because some of the songs I just mentioned, like they are, you know, how Lynyrd Skynyrd was the original one and then they went through the plane crash and then they had kind of, you know, to update their members and whatnot. So it's kind of cool to see that. I mean, I tend to prefer the older music, as do I feel like most Lynyrd Skynyrd fans, but it kind of, I feel like it was inevitable. Like when you lose the members, then you're going to have, I mean, a different sound that's just going to come with it. But I do think that for a newer band that was started so long ago, I think they're still doing awesome. And I think they're better than half the guys that we have now. No offense, but you know, I love my Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I was actually able to find an article on Huffington Post. Mike Rigonia interviewed Skynyrd's Gary Rossington, who is a really, really longtime member. And this was a couple of years ago. And during the interview, he was being asked about one of their more recent albums, which was called Last of a Dying Breed. And Ready to Fly was off of this particular album. And Rigonia said that the record had like an autobiography kind of feel to it. And in response, Rossington said, "A little bit. We write about us and we write about what's going on around us." And this song is all about an elderly mother who doesn't have much time left and she's going to pass soon. And she tells her son and that she's ready to, you know, see her loved ones and continue the journey and ready to see everyone that she loves after she dies. So Rigonia asked about it and if it had any connections to the tragedies that Lynyrd Skynyrd has had to, you know, go through. And Rossington said, "We interpreted all the other stuff that's happened to us and we hope all of our friends and family are waiting up in the sky for us. We hope we get with them all when it's time to go." So it's definitely a personal song for everyone and we all can relate to it. And for that reason, it's one of my favorite Skynyrd songs. I sing this really, really often. It's impossible to make me shut up during the song. Like if I'm halfway through, I'll be like, like you have to wait at least a few more minutes because I need to finish the whole entire like 5 minutes of the song and then I'll be quiet. But until then, you're out of luck. So now it's time for one of my all-time favorite country artists. And I'm so, so stoked because I've been saving him up since the very first show. So here is Merle Haggard with Mama Tried.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one can change my mind but Mama tried. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
So that was Mama Tried by Merle Haggard, and every time I sing this song, I always start off with the chorus, and usually everyone has the same reaction for the most part, because I'll just like start singing the part where it's like, and I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole, and each friend of mine is always like, what? Like, what kind of song is that? And then I'm like, well, if you like let, I don't know, if you let me finish it, and then you had someone who was playing the guitar in the background, and if you let me continue to the next verse, then it would sound a lot nicer. But no, I can't really sing, so I pretty much get interrupted within the very first few seconds of trying to carry a tune, which is why I've developed the system of singing a song like it's been sped up, and that way I can get a little like further if I sing really, really quickly. So I've come to utilize that. See how smart I am, you guys? People don't want me singing, so I'll just go Barry Allen on them. And then before we hear the next song, I actually wanted to share some badass moments of Merle Haggard and a bunch of my favorite artists. I mean, they were such cool guys, and I mean, like, they were all considered outlaws pretty much, so they all have cool moments. I mean, Cash, Waylon, and Jackson. So here are Merle's. First of all, he was born in a boxcar, and let me give you the backstory of it. His parents, James Francis and Flossie Mae Haggard, they moved to California from Oklahoma during the Great Depression, and they moved over here after their barn burned down. This happened in 1934, and then they relocated to Bakersfield. So for work, Merle's father got a job working for the Santa Fe Railroad as a carpenter, and he got started on a boxcar that he began working on in Oildale near Bakersfield, and that became their new home. So when it came time for Merle Haggard to be born, he was born in that boxcar on April 6th, 1937. And just by the way, eventually the family did buy land around the boxcar, and they expanded it and added onto it. So they, you know, put in a kitchen and more bedrooms and all of that. So eventually it did turn into more of a house, but at the time it was a boxcar. So second moment, Merle had a song called Kern River, which was a very successful song on the country charts. It's a really good song. But Rick Blackburn, who was an executive for CBS Records, he really did not care for the song at all. And the dude made it a point to tell Merle Haggard how much he hated Kern River. Like, seriously, you guys, every opportunity that this guy had, he'd say he didn't like the song to him. So after hearing him complaining over and over and over again, Haggard had enough, and he told Blackburn, "That's about the third time you've told me that. It's more like five times. Well, I'm about five times short of telling you to go to hell." That's exactly what he said to him verbatim. Oh, I love when I can use that word, verbatim. And in addition to that, he actually mouthed off to Rick Blackburn over another situation. So through his career, Johnny Cash was dropped from the CBS record label, and he was fired. So while Merle Haggard was going off on Blackburn over the Kern River issue, he also added this in. And now when I say this quote, just be creative when I say it and fill in the blanks. He said to Rick Blackburn, "Who do you think you are? You're the son of a blank that sat at that desk over there and fired Johnny Cash. Let it go down in history that you're the dumbest blank of a blank I've ever met." What if people really sweared like that? Like everything was just bleeped out. That'd be weird. Anyways, so Rick Blackburn, you've been served by Merle Haggard. Not one, but twice. Burn. Burn, Blackburn, burn. And while we are talking about Johnny Cash, actually, he performed in San Quentin Prison, and his first performance at a correctional institution was on New Year's Day in 1958, and he did perform for the first time at this famous California prison. And during this concert, Merle Haggard was actually in the audience, and at the time he was 20 years old. Haggard was actually arrested for the first time when he was like young, like 11 or something, and then he just kept having run-ins with the law, and he was sent to San Quentin when he was 18 on a burglary charge. And during that time he was planning an escape with his cellmate. They called him Rabbit, but Merle didn't end up going through with it because his other cellmates told him like he had a better future in country music after the Johnny Cash performance. So Rabbit just went ahead with the plan solo, and he ended up escaping, and then he killed a cop, and then he returned to San Quentin on death row. So didn't really work out for him. So it's a very good thing that Merle Haggard decided not to tag along and stayed, you know, stayed put. And while we are still on the subject of jail, for once I have like transitions a little bit, like, oh, since we're talking about this, I'll mention this. But anyway, so Merle Haggard has actually escaped from jail 17 different times. This is what he says he remembers from his life. He never really committed like a serious crime. Not to say that no crime is serious, but I consider serious like anything like killing someone, or you can use your imagination and think, you know, think of the worst ones. Just anything that Law and Order covers, that is a serious crime to me. But like, I mean, like if someone gets busted with drugs, I mean, of course it depends on what kind of drugs, but those aren't very like, oh my God, like how could you? That's just like, you're stupid, man. So he had a lot of like just petty offenses, which was kind of a result from his childhood. Like you might have heard from Mama Try, the song that I just played. He had to grow up without a father and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of a result of him just trying to get by. So when he would be placed in jail, he just kept finding a way to slip out. And so he eventually ended up in San Quentin because of that. They just locked him up there. And another awesome thing that he did was record tribute albums to the legendary Bob Wills and Jimmy Rogers. And the timing that he recorded them, I think, really says it all, because he did it when his career had already taken off. So some folks were thinking, like, why now? Like, you could be doing something a lot more useful for your finances and fan base, and you don't really have to do this now because you're already popular with people. But he went ahead and took the time to record and release the tributes to a couple of the greatest country music stars from the past. So it's good to see that he's still, you know, is paying his homage and paying his respects to them. So moving right along, Merle Haggard was also diagnosed with lung cancer about 6 years ago, and he beat it. And for the most of his life, he was a smoker, and even though the doctor said that smoking had nothing to do with his condition, which I don't really understand how they would find that out, like, oh, you've been smoking for a really, really, really long time, but lung cancer wasn't a result of that. And it's kind of like, dude, isn't that like the number one? I'm not a doctor though, I don't know, but don't take my word for it, but I'm pretty sure that would like make sense. If someone had lung cancer, the first thing I would ask is like, are you a smoker? But in his case, they said that it wasn't from that, but he still didn't take any chances, and he quit smoking when he got the news of cancer. And 2 months after having surgery on his lung, he was back to playing shows. And then now in a more political direction, and this is still a fantastic tune, Haggard had a song called Me and Crippled Soldiers Give a Damn. It was a bit of a protest song, adding to some of his politically charged times throughout his career. And when it came time to release it, CBS Records didn't approve it. So he actually decided to buy himself out of that contract so he could release it, which he did. And then he gave all the proceeds from the song to the Disabled Veterans of America. And this is pretty cool only because Merle Haggard wasn't really involved with tons of duets, but he did pair up with Willie Nelson, and they got a song called Poncho and Lefty, and that ended up going to the number one spot. And in the year of 1983, they both were named the Vocal Duo of the Year by the Country Music Association. So not bad for a guy who usually did solo songs, because Willie Nelson got paired up with a bunch of people. Like, him and Waylon Jennings were like best friends on music. So I think it just says a lot that the one time he did decide to do a song being partnered up with another artist, that they got a freaking, you know, CMA award for it. So how cool is that? Also, Merle Haggard is recognized for creating the Bakersfield sound. Again, this was a run-in with Nashville's perception. We've talked a lot about this, how Nashville really had a strong hold on country music, and Merle just kind of ignored it and just continued to push the boundaries and make music with his own personal sound. And that's really, you know, it had a huge part in Merle Haggard recording 38 number one hits, 38 of them from the 1960s to the late 1980s, and Mama Tried was one of them. And I personally adore this just because I feel like a lot of the artists that I do listen to, it kind of sucks how they're not from here. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everyone from Texas must go crazy over George Strait and, you know, and Jim Reeves and whatnot. And I feel like it's kind of, it sucks because it's like, I don't have anyone from California, but I have Merle Haggard now. So it's cool to have someone who's considered a traditional country artist, you know, being from the West Coast, because usually they're all kind of focused like Midwest or, you know, down South areas. So this is cool for him being from Bakersfield. And honestly, the timing couldn't have been more perfect for me to include him in Good Old Days, because I was actually double checking like Merle's birthday online on his own website. And that actually led me into the tour dates, just because I get curious, like, oh, let's see like if they're touring and where they are. And I wasn't really keeping my eye on him anyways, because I'm still busy waiting for Lynyrd Skynyrd's tour. But online, I actually saw that he was currently touring and performing in California. So right away when I saw that, I mean, I found out that he was in Stockton and that next year he would be in Bakersfield. And I was like, they're kind of far away though. And then I was able to find that he would be performing in Napa next month. And that was just a done deal. Like, I double checked that my mom could make that date. Remember, because she's my concert buddy. And now I'm seeing Merle Haggard live at the Uptown Theater in like 3 weeks. And this is just perfect because the concert is December 12th at 8. And it's perfect because my finals, like, that's the last day of a final, you know what I mean? And then school's done, the semester is over, so it's like perfect, because now every time I'm just really sick of it, I'm like, I don't want to study for finals, like, I don't have anything to motivate me. I'm like, oh wait, yes I do, because that Friday I get to go see freaking Merle Haggard live, so I can't wait. And now we're just gonna take a quick break, because I just got way too excited, because I'm really pumped up about the concert now. And we're going to have a quick word from Harley D, and we'll be right back with Good Old Days. So don't you go anywhere.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. A shocked student was left furious after discovering her Facebook photos had been stolen and used on a sex website. 20-year-old Grace Marr found that 3 of her images were used as a promotional offering Hot Horny Singles. Grace, an English language undergraduate at Aston University in England, discovered after a friend of her mother's contacted her after seeing the images while surfing the internet. If you're gonna commit a crime, at least have the cojones to own up to it. 26-year-old Joseph Wance placed a $107 order for pizza, breadsticks, and soda for what he said was a party last Tuesday night. The delivery man arrived at 10:30 p.m. and rightfully became suspicious because he saw no cars or sign of a celebration. Wance allegedly put a BB gun to the head of the Pizza Hut worker and stole all the food and cash he carried. The suspect and another person later told police they witnessed the robbery and that Wance's cousin was the gun-toting culprit. On Wednesday, Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputies responded to a disturbance at Wance's residence. Police took Wance in for questioning, and the pizza delivery man identified Wance as the culprit in the previous night's robbery. According to a police report, Wance said he blamed his cousin for the robbery because the two looked alike and he wasn't the only one going down for this. He now faces charges, including robbery with a firearm and aggravated assault with a firearm. Police in Florida encountered a man wearing a jacket and a bra and riding a bicycle in front of a bank and prevented customers from using the ATM. Fort Pierce police asked Gregory Hunden to empty his pockets, and though it got him into trouble, the 33-year-old allegedly agreed. Out of his pants came a pair of women's undergarments, a crack pipe, 2 needles for drug use, a pill bottle, and brass wool, according to the Offbeat, which recently obtained the November 3rd arrest affidavit. Records from the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office says Hendon faces charges of possession for drug equipment and resisting an officer without violation. Bond was set at $15,500. 29-year-old Jamie Brown stole a fish tank from a hardware store in Leeds, England in August and made a run for it, but soon after had to be rescued by police and emergency personnel after he stopped to urinate in a bush and that bush had a wasp's nest in it. I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
And we are back. Does anyone else really want like Pizza Hut now and breadsticks? Because that's what I'm craving. So I'm almost upset that I played that commercial because now I can't stop thinking about food. But anyways, we are going back now to Hank Williams Jr. I'm going to play my favorite song by him. And sometimes I hate the fact, I don't know if anyone will understand this. This might just be me being weird, but I sometimes hate that it's one of his most like popular tunes and that it's my favorite, because I kind of like having a favorite song that isn't super well known by everyone, because then I kind of feel like it's my secret. Does that make sense? Like, people will be like, well, what's your favorite Hank Williams Jr. song? And I'll be like, oh, it's like blah, blah, blah. And then they would be like, wait, what's that one? Like, I've never heard of that. And it's like, yeah, because it's my own song and it's my favorite one, so you can't have it. But in this case, everybody knows this song, so I can just deal with it because it is a fantastic tune. So now here is Country Boy Can Survive.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wizened old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
So that was Hank Williams Jr. with Country Boy Can Survive. Yeah, this song is just a classic. Like I said, it's one of his most popular songs. Anyone who really listens to Bocephus or even heard of him knows Country Boy Can Survive, because that's like the holy grail of Hank Jr., hands down. And there's not many country songs when there's, you know, a reference to California, but Hank Williams Jr. gave the folks in Northern California a little shout out, saying, "We're from North California, South Alabama, and little towns all around this land." So that's pretty darn cool, because once again, that you don't really hear California in too many old country songs or country songs in general. But I do want to tell you now more about this man. The only problem is I have no idea where we left off from last time, but I'm going to just make an estimated guess. So let's start in, where do we want to start? Let's start in 1975. And this was when Hank Williams Jr. decided to go mountain climbing in Montana. And he ended up getting into a really bad, bad accident when he fell off of Ajax Peak. What ended up happening was that he was scaling the mountain, and everything was, you know, going fine. And the snow at one point that was underneath his feet gave way, and he completely lost his footing and just went down. And he ended up crashing face first into the boulder that was 500 feet below him. Ugh, I hate that. Like, when just saying that just makes my, like, jaw and, like, my forehead just start aching. I can't even imagine the pain from that. But what ended up happening was that his face was split open, like as if someone had taken an axe to the middle of his face. So like it was struck down the middle from his hairline to like his chin. And all in all, it took about 2 years, you know, completely for plastic surgeons to be able to reconstruct his face. I mean, because he had the torn flesh and the bones. So it's kind of a miracle that he still looks normal. And it's crazy that he's even still alive after falling off of a mountain. You know what I mean? And if you look at pictures of him, you would have never guessed that he even went through all of that, because his face looks good. Like, and I feel like the injury, it may have resulted in his trademark look. Who knows? I mean, it's not really like that much of a disguise, but you know how he has like the cowboy hat and the shades and a full-on beard. So maybe they kind of work to hide the injuries and stuff. And if that's the case, then it totally works, because he looks all right. So, whew, thank God he's okay from that. So after that incident, Williams Jr. got back into the music industry, and he was having tons of success. And part of that success came from his association with ABC's Monday Night Football. How awesome is that? If I had someone use my song, I'd be like, hell yeah, Monday Night Football. And he partnered up with the program in the late 1980s, and he was the artist behind their theme song. And that was going on for a pretty long time. And the football gig, I think it lasted up until sometime during the 2000s. I can't remember if it was like 2010 or it might have been 2011. I don't know. I'm not betting money on it. So one of those. But that's when ABC's Monday Night actually decided to cut ties with him. And this was a direct consequence from an interview that Williams Jr. had on Fox News. And what ended up happening was that he was on Fox and Friends. And I'm stating the obvious, I think. I don't really think anyone can get mad by, you know, me saying that this news channel is definitely more on the, you know, conservative side. I mean, I think it's always going to be like that. There's always going to be some kind of bias maybe in a certain news channel. But I think they're still careful to make sure that they don't get too crazy. So they do say like their opinion, but I don't think they get like too, you know, overboard with it. So that being said, during his interview with the cast, and I've seen this, I watched it on Fox, and their reactions, like the friends from Fox and Friends, when he said this was just like, oh my God. And what he said, it wasn't horrible. Like, I think people could have said a lot worse. And I don't think Hank Jr., he didn't go like too crazy. Like, he didn't start like yelling and throwing a fit and whatnot. And I think that the analogy that he used was more logical to him. And maybe, I mean, it was definitely misinterpreted by the audience, especially because I mean, okay, what ended up happening was that he compared our president, Barack Obama, to a not-so-great public figure. He connected him to Hitler, and he tried explaining it after. And I definitely don't agree with what he said, just because you should never compare anyone, I mean, unless they really do the kind of stuff that he did, but especially not the president of the United States. But I think it's pretty clear that he might have thrown out the first person that came to his mind. And I mean, unfortunately, in an interview, you kind of just are thinking really quickly and you just say whatever is, you know, on the, you know, your mind. And that was the first person who happened to be in his head. And unfortunately, it was Adolf Hitler. So whatever the case, ABC and Williams decided to end their business between one another. That was their decision. And in terms of his personal life, Hank Jr. has been married a couple of times and he has a few kids, but the Williams legacy just keeps getting carried on. And I think this was his son from his first wife. They named him Shelton Hank Williams. And just like his grandpa and his dad, he's a performer as well. And he goes by the name of Hank Williams III. So I listen to all three generations of the Williams men. And I like, you know, Williams III. His music is really good. And it doesn't have that mainstream sound. And you can tell that he found a way to really incorporate Williams and Williams Jr. into some of his own music. And this is just amazing to me. It kind of blows my mind because I feel like they're just adding like more history to their legacy. And it's awesome to see that. And Hank III's album, Lovesick, Broke, and Driftin', it's really great. So definitely, you know, find that and you'll see the talent that was passed on to him. So that's a tad more on Hank Williams Jr., one of my favorites. And now I've also been saving this since like the first show. Here's another one of my favorite artists, bands, whatever. I'd like to introduce the Charlie Daniels Band with their song, Simple Man.
I ain't nothing but a simple man. They call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. We tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty waist judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope, I'd hang them up behind, let them swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Now I'm the kind of man wouldn't harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but a darn sure will. If you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on. As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. I got a way to put an end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp. I'll put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today. People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Watch where you go and remember.
simple man.
I love that song. Once again, that was Simple Man by the Charlie Daniels Band. I really hope those lyrics were kind of clear and you could hear them, just because there are some really good lines in there, but I'll be quoting some anyways, so it don't really matter. And anyways, this band is made up by Shannon Wickline, Charlie Hayward, Charlie Daniels, Pat McDonald, Bruce Brown, and Chris Wormer. So as the leader of the band, Charlie Daniels brought just the right combination of, you know, Western and Southern to the music world. He's a Southerner by birth. He was born in North Carolina back in the 30s. So he's super well known for rock and country, bluegrass, blues, and gospel. He, you know, kind of grew up learning those. So those genres are always present in his songs. So when he graduated from high school in 1955, he joined in with the rock and roll era that had been recently started by Elvis Presley. And this wasn't too hard for him because he knew how to play the fiddle, he knew how to play the mandolin and the guitar. So with his musical skills, he decided to form a band and get on the road. So about this song, you might have picked up on this already, but Charlie Daniels has made some political statements. He's been involved with Jimmy Carter, and he's had a few reaction songs to some political events, but out of those ones, I really tend to like Simple Man the most, and I think it's just a great song. But when it came out in the late 80s, some people kind of interpreted in a certain way, which I think was kind of accurate. I don't necessarily think that it's a bad way how they saw it, because really, I think they thought of it as Charlie Daniels like advocating for vigilantes and all of those guys. And I mean, obviously, you can't really have one person running around and doing that kind of stuff, because then it would just defeat the purpose of having laws. But still, like, it's not so horrible. I don't know, especially if they aimed. I'm not going to, you know what, never mind. So, for example, when he describes the drug dealers, this is just an example of the vigilanteism thing. He says, "Now, if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang him up high and let him swing till the sun goes down." So that's that. And then in the next verse, he says, "As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. And I've got a way to put an end to all that mess." And he goes on to say, "Just take them rascals out in the swamp, put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest." So pretty self-explanatory and very straightforward. I think it's those lyrics that made the song so powerful. And I don't think it's going overboard. I mean, I think, like, I'm thinking of Immortal Technique. If you guys know who Immortal Technique is, then that's like, it's still even not overboard, but that's like, oh my God, like, you say a lot of stuff, man. So this wasn't really too bad. I just think it's like the right combination of, you know, this is what's wrong and bad in our world with, you know, this is what I would do to the jerks who are responsible for some of those things. So it works. And I'm not the only one who is drawn to the lyrics. Simple Man got a lot of media attention, and that got Charlie Daniels invited to plenty of talk shows. So a really good song. I also recommend that you check out The Legend of Woolly Swamp. That's also a fantastic song. More like upbeat and not as heartfelt or anything, but it's still an awesome song. And I belt both of these out as loud as I can several times a day. I waste a lot of time just running around and singing. It's a disease. Blame it on the Charlie Daniels Band. It's all their fault. So now we are going to be jumping to Johnny Cash. I can't wait because I love him. So here is one of my favorites and one of his most popular tunes. Here is Folsom Prison Blues. Did that rhyme? What did I just say? Most popular tunes, Folsom Prison Blues. Oh yeah, that rhymed. Psh. Here's the song. I know it starts like, let's see, I'm playing it, but it starts like 5 seconds in. Okay. Oh, there we go. Enjoy.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. Railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
So you just heard Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash, and he never did serious time in either a state or federal prison. He experienced jail, but he'd be out of there like the following day, and he was only in prison when he was performing songs there. And actually, this is kind of funny, but one time after he was arrested for being drunk in public, and this happened in Mississippi, I think, he was kicking the bars of his cell, and he ended up breaking his toe by doing that. So, yeah, Cash didn't get locked up in prison, but when he was there playing to the prisoners, they went absolutely crazy. I mean, Merle Haggard saw him, remember, and David Allan Coe saw him play, and Haggard actually described Johnny Cash during the San Quentin concert, and Merle said, and I quote, he said he had the right attitude, he chewed gum, looked arrogant, and flipped the bird to the guards. He did everything the prisoners wanted to do. He was a mean mother from the South who was there because he loved us. When he walked away, everyone in that place had become a Johnny Cash fan. And that's awesome to me. I love the history between my, you know, my most loved artists, and they're all intertwined, and I think it's just so cool how that happened. So anyways, after his first concert at an institution, he kept on performing in many other prison shows, and this song was inspired by an older documentary called Inside the Walls of Folsom Prison, and it was, you know, a film on Folsom Prison in Sacramento County here in California. And after some more concerts, Johnny Cash had the bright idea to start filming them. So he actually brought it to some Columbia executives, and they took it to San Quentin and Folsom. And almost immediately, the dudes at Folsom Prison were like, yeah. So in 1968, they rolled the tapes. And of course, Johnny performed Folsom Prison Blues at Folsom Prison. So that's another Cash hit. I love singing this one. It just sucks because my voice is really nowhere near how cool his voice is. And I was singing Folsom Prison Blues recently when my best friend and I were like driving somewhere, probably to get food. We do that a lot. And I was playing the song and singing it, and I was really trying like hard to lower my weird sounding voice to match his super cool low voice. And she told me that my voice was really throwing her off and it just didn't sound good at all. So now I don't sing that song in front of other people, but at my house with no windows open, oh, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. So we have a little bit of time left, and just in case, I had one more of my favorites lined up. So unfortunately, I won't be able to play the whole thing, but here is a little bit of like a snippet from the Marshall Tucker Band. So we're going back to some Southern rock, and we're going to be ending it with this song. Here is King of the Delta Blues. So that is King of the Delta Blues. It has that swamp sound, the best thing ever. So you guys already know about the Marshall Tucker Band, so I don't really have anything else to really tell you. But there are some fun things to this artist and their songs. I was wondering what I could say that's at least a little entertaining, and I ended up coming across these little fun facts, more like random realizations and epiphanies. So several Marshall Tucker, I said that so weird, Marshall Tucker songs are answers to other songs from different singers and bands. So, for example, the group U2 has a song named Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses, and Marshall Tucker has a song named This Old Cowboy. Get it? Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses? This Old Cowboy. Do you see what I'm doing here? And then Gary Valenciano has a tune called How Did You Know? And the Marshall Tucker song answer is Heard It in a Love Song. And then the last one that actually made some sense to me. There were lots of these, by the way, but I only liked these three. So the other one was The Barbarians with their song, Are You a Boy or Are You a Girl? And the Marshall Tucker Band response with the song is Can't You See? Also, there was this section for songs for like commercials that haven't been done yet. And somebody said that they should use their song, Can't You See? In an advertisement for Lens Crafters. So that's pretty clever, I think. And I found a lot of interesting things actually on that song specifically. And Can't You See? It's weird because it has an upbeat rhythm, but it also has really depressing lyrics. So it has kind of like a bipolar type of theme going on, because the song's lyrics from the very first verse are, gonna take a freight train down at the station. Lord, I don't care where it goes. Gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain. Jump off, nobody gonna know. So it sounds like a happy song, but if you hear the lines, it's sort of sad, but I still love it, and it never makes me depressed, so psh, I'm good. And back to the song that I just played, I love plenty of Marshall Tucker Band songs, and this one just never gets old. King of the Delta Blues was off of their album called Beyond the Horizon, and that song just showcases the band's talent, since the core of their sound was really defined by Doug Gray's vocals, like matched with Toy Caldwell's guitar, and that was really the heart of the band's music at first. And now with replacements and an updated lineup, it's not really the same exact sound, because Toy Caldwell did die in 93, and this album came out in 2004, I believe. I could be way off, but I remember that it was sometime in the 21st century. So the more recent members you know, I think it's pretty clear that they did keep the original core of the band incorporated in their latest music. And I mean, they have another lead vocalist now, so the group has two really good voices, and they have a bassist, and they have a guitar still, and Borden on the drums, so they're still rocking out, and they're actually into their fourth decade now for the Marshall Tucker Band, and they're still recording and still touring, so King of the Delta Blues really shows the recent group and just how skilled and similar they are to the original Marshall Tucker Band, and that is pretty much it for those guys. And I guess that's it for Good Old Days because the hour is up. So that's all for show number 10, my final show here on radio.dominican.edu. I hope you guys like the show today. Once again, I'm Jackson. It's been awesome doing this. Thank you again for tuning in. I never even thought I would have any listeners when I first started this thing. I really thought I would just be like coming in and talking to the walls in the studio for an hour every Monday. So really, thank you for that. It means a lot. And I hope you guys enjoyed, and take care.